Well, good afternoon or good morning, whenever it is you're listening to this. I want to welcome you to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. The hand car washing business, the Wash and Word, was created by myself and my wife. We opened this business for the sole purpose of getting God's Word into the public ear in a way that is a little bit unique. We understand that. We accept that, and we're happy to do it. You can support this ministry by coming by the car wash, letting us work to earn the money it takes to keep this going. We're a self-supported ministry, and by you coming and supporting our business, you're also supporting these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. Also want to mention, if you're in the area, anywhere in the parking lot or anywhere around the Wash and Word, whether we're open or not, or whether you're getting your car washed or not, you can tune to 107.1 FM. We have a small radio transmitter that transmits these messages on a loop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you can hear a word from God. That's what we want this parking lot to be known, as a place that you can go and hear a message from God any time of the day, any day of the week. And that's what we do. So if you have any questions, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And don't forget to join me at Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. We're located at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. We're getting back into our verse by verse. We're in the book of 1 John, and we're setting up camp, folks. We're setting up camp in the enemy's territory. And when you set up camp in the enemy's territory, you've got to expect there to be retaliation. And then in our last message, we ended just getting into what we call the three punches of Satan, the three main weapons that he has. And from those three main weapons, every host of temptation and sin springs from those three weapons. But here's where the teaching got real. You see, the world responds to what feels good. You see, the three punches of the devil is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the world will naturally do these things. That's what naturally comes to the natural body. The flesh seeks that which makes the flesh feel good. So that's there's no great revelation of understanding there. But here's what happened is this fleshly desires and gratifications has now begun to infiltrate the church, and more as we see the days approaching. And we ended in our last teaching by saying that bad theology leads to bad thinking, and bad thinking leads to bad living. And this bad theology has crept into the church. It's coming from our pulpits. It's being allowed to fester and manifest within our bodies, corporate bodies that gather together in the name of Christ. And so this bad theology, whether it be completely off-base theology or half-truths or cherry-picking the Bible. Remember, friends, this is why we do verse by verse. We believe 100% that God's entire counsel was always meant to be taught and preached and obeyed. And God help us if we start taking parts of His Word and deciding for ourselves whether they should be taught on our Sunday morning gatherings. Every single time we gather together as a church, I don't care what your denomination is, I don't care where you meet, what time of day, what day you meet, when we gather together, the book should be opened, it should be followed in its entirety. Period. End of story. This is how God intended it to be. Who gave us the right to pick and choose what sections and parts of Scripture will be preached upon and, worse yet, obeyed? And so this bad theology, however you want to label it, has crept into the church. It's led to bad thinking. And bad thinking, whether you're a Christian or not, is going to lead to bad behaviors. And so to reject the worldly philosophy, we must reject the worldly behaviors. And this is where we started making some headway into the enemy's territory. So the first punch, as it were, that we're going to look at comes from 2 John. We're going verse by verse through the book of 1 John. I'm sorry, not 2 John, but we're the second chapter of 1 John. And in verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world," and here it is, "the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, doesn't come from the Father, but from the world." So there's three weapons there: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let's look at the lust of the flesh. Now, this isn't we're not talking about the body as a fleshly being per se. This isn't about meat and bones and sinews, but lust of the flesh is simply another way of saying lust of earthly desires, lust of the remnant of the sinful nature that will remain with us until the day God calls us home. Lust of that flesh, that part of us that we war against daily. But see, you need to understand that desires of the flesh, listen, this might blow your mind a little bit. Desires of the flesh are God-given. You say, well, wait a minute, didn't God just say to avoid the desires of the flesh? No. Listen, here's where we need to make a distinction. The desires of the flesh are God-given. For example, a sexual drive is a God-given desire of the flesh, given to us within the confines of marriage for the sake of procreation and, believe it or not, for enjoyment. God gave a sexual aspect to relationship, to marriage, for the sake of not just procreation, but also for pro-enjoyment. God knows it feels good. God wants us to enjoy one another. That is a fleshly desire God has given us. So again, understand that desires of the flesh are God-given. The problem is, when the desires of the flesh are left unchecked, these God-given desires become Satan-driven. So take sexual drive once again. God-given sexual drive for procreation and pleasure within the confines of marriage, when left unchecked, has become pornography and perversion and pleasures of all kinds of depravity. It becomes extreme. And whenever God has allowed us a desire of the flesh and we take it to the extreme, we end up losing what God's intention of that desire was meant to be. God desires us to have pleasure in life and in things that feel good, but we take it to the extreme and it becomes perverted. God desires us to have a desire of the flesh for comfort. You know, there's nothing wrong with being comfortable, having AC in the summer and having, you know, heat in the winter and having a nice couch and having a TV to watch, you know, to sit on that couch and watch. There's nothing wrong with comfort. That is a sensual, fleshly desire that God meets in our lives in many different areas. But sometimes that comfort becomes laziness, and laziness is against God. Laziness is slothfulness, and it is not godly. And so the devil takes every good, fleshly driven desire that God will or can and has given us and turns it into a perversion. That's what he does. God gives us through Christ peace of mind, peace in our life. That is a fleshly, sensual desire to have peace, to be at comfort with oneself, to be at comfort with the world. You know, we have taken it and it's called Zen and it's called Feng Shui or, you know, whatever weird word you want to put to it. And we've taken this peace of mind, which God has given us through Christ, and we've elevated it. And now we still satisfy the same sensual desire, again, that God has given us. But instead of doing it the right way, we now take drugs and we drink. We've altered the peace of mind that God has given us. And of course, hunger. Man, is there anything greater than a big slice of pie at the end of a meal or sitting down to a pizza when you haven't eaten in about, you know, 8 hours or something and, you know, you're just starving? That is a desire of the flesh. To feed the belly is a desire of the flesh that God has given us and God has met. All right, so let's understand, desires of the flesh are God-given. But when you take that same desire, again, let's use the example of hunger, and you over-abuse it or you take it to its extreme, this is where a godly desire gets unchecked. When we take it to the extreme, well, what is hunger to the extreme or eating to the extreme called? It's called gluttony. And so the lust of the desires of the flesh are, here's the difference. All right, pay attention. This is important. Desires of the flesh are God-given, but lust of the flesh is its counterpart. It's perversion. So the desires of the flesh are God-given, and the lust of the flesh is its perversion. And like all things that were good God has given us, Satan has distorted them, and he's done it for the sake of pain. And so the same can be said for the theme of the lust of the eyes. That's the second punch of Satan. There was lust of the flesh, which we just looked at, and now there's lust of the eyes. The Bible says that the eyes are the window to the what? They're to the window to the soul. And so we must care for our eyes. I can remember a time when I met my wife, and we were on our second date, my soon-to-be wife, and we were on our second date, and we were gazing into each other's eyes, and something amazing happened. It hasn't happened to me since, and it's never happened to me again, which I know it was God confirming this woman to be the love of my life forever. But I was able, she had the same feeling. We gazed into each other's eyes, and we were able, like something came over our eyes. I will not be able to explain it in words, but it was sort of like a glaze, but an opposite of a glaze. It was a clarity, like something in her eyes just became so pure. And in hindsight, I know God allowed me to see her soul, the soul mate that he created for me to be with, to experience the pleasures of this life, as she saw it in me. And it was just an amazing moment that we had together. And so the eyes, we must protect our eyes, because not only that they relate what we see back to our brains, but our eyes are really the stimulus of almost all things, aren't they? Now, I want you to go with me here on this for a minute, because there's something that you probably did not previously realize, because it took God to reveal this to me when I realized it. But with the connection of the eye to the mind, lust of the eyes goes beyond sight, right? And it goes beyond that which we should or should not be looking at. It goes even beyond coveting that which we see. It's a connection directly to the mind. Now, the parameters of the physical aspect of visual contact, that is, whether we're looking to the left or the right or straight ahead, for the Christian, it's quite obvious. But let me ask you this. If there is something that you don't understand, okay, something you don't mentally you haven't figured it out. It doesn't make sense. Maybe it's the inner workings of a machine or something, like whatever it is, physics, something. So you don't understand this thing. Then you go and you research this thing, or you seek someone to explain it to you, or better yet, you educate yourself on this thing, and then all of a sudden you understand it, or it finally clicks. And then what do we say? We say, "Oh, I see. Now I see what that means. Now I understand. I see what's going on." So there's a not just a visual parameter of seeing, but there's an understanding parameter. And listen, there are certain things in this world and about this life that we are not meant to understand. God designed it that way. He gave us a finite mind. He said, "My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts," i.e., you cannot understand everything with the minds I have given you. God did this on purpose to limit our understanding. Yet the perversion of the lust of the flesh in the form of the lust of the eyes says that I must understand this. I must grasp this. I have to understand what I am believing in, what I am seeing. In fact, many people will never know God. They'll never come to faith because they simply cannot understand the Christian concept of the Trinity or the virgin birth or the resurrection or the Holy Spirit. And so to see that the lust of the eyes goes beyond what we see, it goes into a realm of understanding. And our human minds, for some of us, have been retarded to the point where we cannot move forward unless we understand. That's a perversion. The devil has perverted the gift of sight, both visually and mentally, and he's used it to keep people away from Jesus. And so we probe into space, and we probe into the depths of the ocean, we probe into the future, we probe into the occult, into superstitions and dark powers. Again, God has given us the gift of inquiry and a sense of wonderment, but the devil has perverted it and turned it into greed, into a must-know mentality. He's given us the gift of visual beauty, and we have taken it to the extremes with pornography and plastic surgery and enhanced visual stimulus and drugs and everything else under the sun. Yet the lust of the eyes is still prevalent, and it goes far beyond sight. Well, I ran out of time really quick this time, so join me tomorrow. We'll get back into this again. If you're in the waiting room, stay tuned. We're going to pick this right back up again. Remember to join me Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Till then, have a blessed day.